Welcome to the Espergenesis podcast, Espercito. If you're wondering what Espergenesis is, it is a 5e compatible reimagining of Dungeons & Dragons set in a sci-fi setting. My name is Tom Kirk. I'll be playing the Dungeon Master, Games Master for this podcast.
And I'm John. I play Jefferson Knight? No.
You should know this.
Jefferson Knight, that's his name.
Jefferson Knight, human bounty hunter.
Human bounty hunter.
We had a few sound quality issues towards the end of the first episode, and they sort of trail into the second episode. They're absolutely sorted by episode three, so we do apologise for those, and we've totally got those sorted out now.
Are there going to be recaps at the start of episode two and episode three? So if it gets too much, you can just skip ahead, and we'll tell you what happened.
So if you like this, please share it around and subscribe to the channel. We'll be making more of these and releasing them on a regular basis.
Don't forget to leave us iTunes reviews if you can, because from what we've heard, they really help them, you know, get seen more. So we'd appreciate that.
That's absolutely it. So on with the show. Welcome to the first ever game that we played of Espergenesis. How are we all doing?
I genuinely expected you to say Espercito.
Yeah. Espercito.
Okie dokie, Espercito. So, okay, brilliant. Let's do some stuff. Why don't we go around and make a little introduction of who we all are, who our characters are. And a little bit about them just before we start, would you reckon?
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. I don't know. Tom, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So I am a T4C4. I'm a Ashenforged engineer, and they said Ashenborn. I don't know where I keep getting that from. No, it is Ashenborn.
Ashenforged.
Or is it Ashenforged? Ashenforged. I've written it down as Ashenborn, that's why. Ashenforged.
You've written it down wrong, essentially.
Indeed.
I see a mistake.
Yeah, there we go. So yes, I'm an Ashenforged engineer. I don't know much about my history. I was kidnapped before I was given a full name on there. That's why I still have my serial number, D4C4. My friends call me D4. I've worked for various criminal organisations, not explicitly because of criminal, just because they were friends and took me in. I've done some shady stuff as a result, but again, not maliciously. It's just kind of what I do. I kind of go along with it and just help out with the tech.
Excellent. See, so Ashenforge just sort of like melted down from the dead bodies of other people, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Like robot dwarves. Well, dwarves in terms of stats.
We don't talk about D&D here. This is Esposito territory. They're not the same. Totally the same.
You want to get sued?
Okay, Aaron, go for it.
My guy's name is Ozan. He's a Matakai Sentinel. There must be a kidnapping going on in this galaxy because I too was kidnapped as a child and sold into slavery as a pit slave in a weird sort of kind of off the book Panama Papers-esque meteor field where I was forced up for the entertainment of the space Eli Ross of the world, and I ended up getting Spartacus when an Ashenforge led a rebellion throughout the sector, and the guy who was my Obi-Wan / foster dad sacrificed his sentinel rig to save my life when I decided to play catch with a grenade during the rebellion. I'm not pleased about this, as you can imagine. And I have recently stolen a bunch of riot gear from a local world, and that makes up most of my starting equipment, apart from the helmet, which it's frankly discriminatory, the lack of crocodile-based helmet sizes and shapes that are available.
I've always thought that.
So yeah, that's me.
Okay, Mike, go.
So, my name is Pax Andromeda. I'm not going to do a voice for it, but if you did have a voice, it'd be something like this.
Okay,
so
that is now
your
character voice.
Yeah, that's my Gary voice. So he's a Promethean, just like an offshoot of the human race, had a huge war, a few hundred years ago, something called X-Conflict. Basically, I am a soldier, warrior class, and my wife was a Promethean diplomat, and on one of her trips to Earth, was killed by a gang of humans. So I split off from the Promethean army. And, I hate humans, by the way.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Shit. So, John, I hope you're not human. but yeah, basically, I'm seeking revenge on these people. I have a list of names that I got from one of them when I tracked them down. And both my sabers are called, one's called Matilda, my wife, and one's called Tressida, my daughter.
It's a very millennial naming convention you've got going on there for your daughter.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just, what was your daughter's name again? Sorry.
Tressida. It's like Cressida with a T.
Okay. And
but that's me.
Yeah, you are stuck with that character voice now. I'll be doing a series of bad accents.
Excellent.
Love it.
So yeah, I mean, Mike, you're out of all of us, you're an actor. So come on, as seen at confused.com.
I did my thing.
And yeah, John, who actually is also an actor. yeah, go.
So my guy is a galactic human hunter. So all hijinks abound.
Is he a human hunter or a human hunter?
He's a human hunter. I mean, it depends what he's hunting. If he's hunting a human, then he's a human hunter. Human hunter.
Let's move on.
Yeah. So his name is Jefferson Knight, not his real name. He wasn't kidnapped. He doesn't have a tragic story. Basically, he was always very gifted and started turning to more risky behavior to get a thrill out of life. So he sort of became a bounty hunter. And, you know, whilst a low-level bounty hunter, he was following some leads to get a fairly low-level bounty and accidentally ended up killing lots of very high-powered gangster mobsters, which made him overnight fairly famous, which he really enjoyed for a while. But then people started trying to assassinate him because he was really famous and killed lots of high-profile criminals. So he moved to the outer zones of the galaxy, where he's, you know, spending his time scavenging things. You know, he's having fun.
Cool. So we have a character called D4, who's not going to get confusing with his naming conventions and rolling dice. Excellent. We have Ozan, who's not Crocubot, who's a sentinel.
He's 100% love.
We have Pax, who is not Drax, the Destroyer. And we have, just the bounty hunter. I'm not clever for you.
I was thinking like a space Elon Musk.
Space Musk.
I'm okay with it.
Excellent. Well, maybe we should just get going. Just to sort of outline, we've all played D&D 5e before. I don't think any of us have played Esper Genesis before, so there's going to be a lot of double-checking rules and just sort of looking up things, but hopefully it should be okay. And any mistakes, forgive me now, and vice versa. These first few lines of a campaign are always the worst. Like, they're always the most terrifying.
You met in a tavern.
Space tavern.
Space tavern. Hydra's got space wagon. Then space goblins attack.
I mean, to be fair, we could just run this adventure. Whole thing as D&D with space in front of it. Okay. Okay, let's go. So, you are dreaming. A restless, floating dream where you can see the vastness of space ahead of you. A blanket of black stretches across the wide infinite expanse of the sky, and for a moment you feel as though you can see everything. As you fly through the void, you pass exploding nebula, stars, dying and being reborn as pillars of gas, millions of miles high, stretch across everything you can see. You fly past dozens of rocky planets at faster than light speeds, and you pass entire worlds before you've even seen them. And gradually, you begin to slow as you approach a large spiral of stars and light. You recognise Varl, a small outer colony. And as the universe spins, you find Sol in the night sky and trace a line to Sylvain Prime, the capital of the galaxy. And as you slow and slow down to a halt, you approach a smaller planet with two rocky moons in the far distance. And in your mind, you can see commerce, you can see warfare, you can see bunkers, which fill you with evil and sadness as you fly towards them. And then you hear a voice in the back of your mind, something about a breach, invaders, or pressure. And the voice sounds like Talis. You awaken in a small grey room with fluorescent strip lighting flickering at a frequency that sort of hurts your eyes as you just slowly wake up. Based off how little sleep you feel like you've had, it must be the middle of the night, relatively speaking. You look around the room at the standard issue desk and the brushed steel chair, which is tucked under it. A few of your personal belongings scattered roughly across the top. And you grab your wallet and your personal communicator. And as you survey, everything is grey. You check out the clock on the shelf by your bunk and it's about 4 a.m. ship's time. It's been about 3 months since you signed up as a security ensign aboard the HWBC Callestis, a heavyweight battle cruiser, where you were assigned to the Epsilon shift, which is the most junior of the ship's 5 security details. Made up of various races and various outsiders, you're mainly contractors, as opposed to the Infinity Corps, which is who the ship belongs to. The sound of a heavy klaxon is ringing intermittently through the hall, and above your door is a red light rotating. You can occasionally hear footsteps running up and down the corridor outside, trailing off as you sort of rub the sleep from your eyes. Suddenly the situation hits you. The ship is on high alert. Sitting up, you brush aside the potted fern plant from the shelf next to you and you grab some of your things before making your way to your locker. Suddenly, there's a loud crackle as the ship's antiquated PA system kicks in with a tinny voice. "This is Second Navigation Officer Talis. We are under attack. All security crews to your stations. We have multiple hull breaches on floors 4, 5 and 9. I repeat..." There's a brief pause as the voice goes silent. "We have a foothold situation. We've been boarded. I repeat, we have been boarded. Multiple hostiles have been reported on the aft deck, floor 7. All security personnel to deck 7. You throw on your protective equipment and grab your weapons before you quickly approach the door to the corridor. You leave your quarters and you step into a long curving corridor of the habitation deck. The grey walls look almost romantically silver in the stark hospital-like light as they curve round from view. The whole corridor is a full circle, stretching about 500 metres the whole way round. Every few metres, a door opens up on the side leading to individual cabin quarters with small personal terminals beside them, used for locking and unlocking, and stating who the quarters are assigned to. You stand there alone in the corridor with the klaxon still blaring.
Was that a go?
It was a go. That was like a, we're playing now.
What deck am I on?
What deck are you on? You're on deck 6, habitation and med bay.
So where do I need to get to? Deck 4?
4, 5 and 9.
7.
The announcement said that there had been breaches.
Hold on, deck 4.
The announcement said that there had been breaches on 4, 5 and 9, but but instructed you to go to deck 7 where most of the action seemed to be happening.
Okay, well, I'm going to head to deck 7.
Okay, so you've got sort of two ways down the corridor here. It curves onto the left, which goes towards the sort of the lifts, and then it goes around to the right, where you've got the med bay and the sort of maintenance sort of hatches and stairs.
I'm going to go hatches and stairs. I feel like it's a terrible idea to get in a lift when someone's shooting at you.
As you say, this huge explosion sort of rocks the ship and it sort of tilts to the side and sort of reaffirms your decision slightly.
So I'm taking the lift.
Okay, no worries. So we'll go with who's going which way? What are you other two doing? D4 packs.
I believe the corridors, the access shafts will be a safer option.
I'm dumb, so I'm going to go lift.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. This is the quickest any game has ever split the party.
This is where we all die.
Okay, excellent.
Just mash the cool lift button.
So, Pax and Ozan, you run, sort of make your way round the corner. And as you're going round the corner, you see a man in sort of scruffy overalls. He sort of runs sort of up and past you and keeps going onwards towards the med bay. And you keep on going to the lift. once you sort of get there, you sort of mash the button a bit, and eventually the door does open. It opens up and you step in. Make a quick perception check for me.
8 plus 2, 10.
14.
Okay, so you both storm in. Ozan, you do notice a little sign on the side that just says, do not use in case of fire, hull breach, decompression, or alien incursion. Use stairs only. But there is...
I pull the sign off the wall.
Excellent. So there is...
Just throw it out of the lift.
I like your style.
So there is... Yeah, there's a panel with 9 numbers on it. The Calestis has 9 decks, like all Tantalus-class vessels, so you can pick any of those numbers. Those are a sign listing which floors are which.
7!
So you press 7, and the mag lift slowly sort of starts to go upwards. About 4 seconds later, there's another sudden shudder as the ship lurches to the side, and the power in the mag lift cuts, and the whole container plummets down the shaft.
No.
Both of you make an acrobatics save.
14.
14 and...
Oh.
It's a good way to start. It's a good way to start.
I've got the Prometheum down below me to cushion my fall.
So both of you take 2 points of bludgeoning damage as the
that
lift...
That wasn't too bad.
The lift flies down and you start to raise off the ground slightly, and then all of a sudden it stops and you just slam back into the floor with a crunch. And a little robotic voice sort of comes out over the top saying, error. This lift is now out of service. We apologise for any inconvenience. Please evacuate by the front door or access hatch below.
I've always liked stairs anyway.
Me too, let go. Access hatch?
Yes, can I try and pull open the doors?
Yeah, make a quick strength check.
Okay. 20. Non-natural.
20, yeah. You just sort of pull these open. You see behind another set of doors with a very large 4 written across the front of it.
Ah! This is one of the ones with people on it. Let's murder them!
I agree, let's go.
Hooray! I've made a friend!
So you pry open open the doors and you come out onto deck 4 and you just hear that tinny voice again saying... Deck 4, life support and critical systems. Jump back to D4 and... I've not learned your names yet.
He's called Jefferson. It's the only non-name.
Okay, so back on deck 6, Jefferson and D4, you sort of keep going down the corridor and you pass a couple of doors, one large one, which is an escape pod bay, and then you sort of... keep going round to, and you find a door saying med bay, and you know from being on the ship, the med bay has access to the maintenance stairs. So as you walk in, the med bay is full with screams of the wounded. Across the bed, there's several Infinity Corps personnel writhing in agony, and there's...
Did you say political personnel?
Infinity Corps personnel. So the Infinity Corps, with its super cool name, is what you've sort of signed up for. That's who you're working for as security staff.
Are they making me wear a uniform?
You are. You were off duty, so you sort of have your sort of regular standard issue sort of jumpsuit, as it were. And then over the top of that, you've got the rest of your equipment, whatever you're wearing.
Is it a stylish jumpsuit?
You don't know whether it's ocean grey or military grey, and that's been a big debate amongst the staff.
Does it bring out my crocodilian features?
It does, and actually, you know, as Crocubot, I'm going to need to stop calling you Crocubot. But you're a crocodile cyborg. Ozan, you know, you actually realise that everyone's wrong. It's not ocean grey or military grey, it's actually battleship grey. You've got an eye for that kind of thing. But yeah, so it's just like a sort of standard sort of issue jumpsuit.
I'm going to attempt to stabilise some of the people.
So yeah, so you look around the room and there's some sort of, there's cabinets on the left-hand side full of medical supplies. And then there's several beds and there's two, looks like a doctor and a nurse. You've got, there's Dr. Pike, who you've known for a very long time, who's been on the ship, ever since you've been on the ship. And then there's Nurse Sherman. Dr. Pike is a human woman with red hair, sort of scraped back into a ponytail, wearing a long lab coat. with some blood spattered over it. Nurse Sherman is one of the staff on board the ship who isn't a human, not in the security teams. The security teams are the only non-humans, really, which is a young Dendus male with sort of typical tentacles sort of running down the back of his head. So you've got these sort of beds, and you just walk over to any of the patients, is it? You just...
I'm going to go to Dr. Pike first and say, Dr. Pike, how may I be of assistance?
Can I just, like, jump in up and be like, well, we are security, so we can go and secure things that, you know, rather than doing someone else's job.
That may be more sensible.
Sorry, Dr. Pike.
I mean, I appreciate your offer for help. I mean, is what you do. I mean, he's right, you're not security staff. I mean, you're not medical staff. You're not trained in this kind of thing, are you?
I have proficiency.
Would you say you're proficient?
But I don't actually have proficiency.
have a look at him, and she points over to a young sort of blonde man who's sort of clutching what looks to be a shrapnel wound on his arm. She says, just if you know what you're doing, we're absolutely swamped. Just give him a go, and she just sort of finishes mid sentence.
Okay, go some quick medical check in and out.
Yep, go in medical check.
That's a nine.
So you walk over, you sort of look, you know, definitely a shrapnel wound, and you just sort of give it a yank, and this young man, he just sort of screams in pain as you wrench it, and the blood seems to spurt out.
Oh god, I stabilize it? He's a talent to stabilize.
I don't think you do. I don't think you stabilize it.
I think he's feeling less stable than he did.
Yeah, he's a goner.
I stick my finger in the wound again. Let me see here.
The young Dendu's man sort of he walks over and just sort of pushes you out of the way and says, God, you're making it worse. And he sort of pushes it out of the way and he sort of grabs some bandages, starts wrapping him up. He says, get out of here. Don't do what you're supposed to do.
I believe we should go to the security room.
Nah.
Oh.
So you sort of look a bit sheepish and you back off and sort of move out of the way. You walk over to the maintenance hatch, you open it up, and in front of you is a sort of one of those staircases that sort of goes up, comes back on itself and keeps going up. And yep, so you head up that. Where are you going? Talk to me.
I mean, to deck four, right?
Deck seven, I think. They told us to meet on deck seven.
That's right, those guys ended up on deck four.
Yes.
They're going to deck seven.
Yes.
To deck seven.
So as you go up the stairs and come to a sort of hatch door, there's a door there that says deck seven, science, design, and technology.
Well, that's exciting. Should we open that door?
Should open that door, yeah.
I reached my hand forward trepidatiously. Look at you, your ashen-forged skin. A slight nod. And push. But it's a pull door. Shit. And then I pull the door.
I never said it was a pull door. I'm in charge of these things. It's my ship. But it is a pull door. You're lucky this time.
Okay, I pull the door.
Okay, so you sort of open the door and take one step into it and close it behind you. It's a sort of double door, a bit like an airlock, but sort of internally. And you close the one behind you, and then as you open the second door, as you step out, something feels strange. And you step out of the lift and you sort of nearly stumble over yourself as your foot seems to somehow miss the floor. It seems to go through it almost like it wasn't there. And you lurch forward, but as you fall, you feel yourself moving forwards, not downwards. And quite quickly you realise the artificial gravity on this floor isn't functioning. You push off down the corridor and you come out into a wide computer lab. And then let's go back to deck four.
Right.
So as you
let's murder things.
As you pry the doors apart, they eventually give way and slide open to reveal a dark room dotted with dozens of blue and red blinking lights. You step out into the lift. You step out of the lift into the ship's nerve center. This floor houses the Callistus's computer servers and primary systems. Things like life support, artificial gravity, ship's virtual intelligence. There's one sort of door leading off to the right, and there's several sort of computer terminals all around the room, sort of dotted everywhere, sort of manning each of the different systems.
You got any idea what these do? No.
Just for the record, actually.
I'll just have a look at the computers, I suppose.
One thing I will say, different to D&D, as part of security systems, you will have some personal communicators to talk to each other across short distances, so do feel you can check in with each other if you need to.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
It's D4. Who's this?
Are we talking in codes?
You sunk my battleship.
I don't understand the question.
Note B3.
I see, it's humour based on my name.
Oh god, I got the action form. We're in the computer room. I've never been here before because it's for nerds.
Computers are my proficiency.
As I said, nerds.
Do you need us to press any buttons down here?
Or preferably blow something up. I draw my gun.
I draw my sword.
If possible, can you restore attitude to level 7?
Can we restore gravity to sure 7?
Clue. Any ideas where this is located? D4?
I don't know. Do I have any ideas where this might be located?
I mean, my guess would be probably on deck 4 with you guys.
That has narrowed it down somewhat.
Okay, I look around for a computer that says deck. We're on deck 7. Okay, for deck 7 computer maybe?
So, roll an investigation check for me.
Gosh, that's intelligence, great.
Oh, I'm shit at intelligence as well.
Yeah, me too. I rolled a 9.
Oh, I got an 18.
An 18. Ozan, you sort of look around and you do eventually sort of find a computer with which looks as though it might control the artificial gravity on various decks. And from here, you realise you could do quite a lot of different things, like should you think of them. There's quite a lot of different things you could you potentially do from these computers as they control near enough the entire ship.
Vent the oxygen! It'll kill everyone!
I turn to the Promethean whose name I can't remember.
Pax.
Yes. Flush every toilet on the ship.
Sounds good. I flush every toilet on the ship at once.
Yep, roll for me a computer's check.
That's a 1. That's an excellent 1.
Yep, so yeah, you managed to turn on a hand dryer on deck 8, and that's about it.
Do you say hand dryer or ham dryer?
Yes.
The ham dryer in the kitchens.
Nice.
And yeah, so Jefferson, you just hear very slightly a sort of...
Oh, there's going to be some delicious dry ham.
Can I turn the gravity off on certain levels and not others?
Potentially. If you know what you if you know what you're doing with the computers, it's something that could physically be done from here.
I do not.
I say to Ezin, can you turn on life support back on all levels, or stabilize life support on all levels?
I'll definitely do something, my Brethian friend. I roll computers.
Yeah, roll computers for that.
2.
Okay, so the life support system seem very, very... Is that 2 after modifiers, yeah?
Yeah, that's 2 after my minus 1.
That's what I rolled.
I see that the right team came to the computer deck. So yeah, so you can't fathom the life support systems at all. For a very brief second, you turn off the life support in this room and have a bit of a panic, but then you just about manage to turn it back.
In a blind rage, fitting with one of my character traits, I empty several rounds into the computer.
Good point of conversation anyway.
Okay, so you just let several rounds into this computer, and it just fizzes and sparks. And make a quick dexterity save for me.
That is a 20, no natural.
Okay, so as it sort of fizzes out and a couple of sparks sort of fly out of it, you just sort of manage to duck out of the way as like a sort of a bolt of sort of spark sort of shoots over to the side. Okay,
can I just quickly ask a question of the whole party?
Like over the communicators, you mean?
No, just like, you know, metagaming right now.
Okay.
Are any of us intelligent?
I've got a minus 1 to my intelligence.
Yeah, me too.
I've got a plus 2.
Okay, I've got minus 1 as well.
Jesus Christ.
Great.
This can only go brilliantly.
I said to Ozan, let's go and find something to kill. This is boring.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
I love this. The entire sort of world of computing and hacking at your fingertips, and you manage to put three rounds into the computer and decide to go kill something instead. Jesus.
Esposito.
Okay, so yeah, you walk past, and there's sort of like various computers. One of them is currently out of commission now. And there's sort of several sort of screens sort of showing different parts of the ship. As you sort of walk along, there's a corridor, and on your left is sort of like a server room. You can see various servers. And then there's another double door on your right.
I smash through that double door.
I like your style.
Kick it down, swords out.
Okay, so you
boy!
You kick it down, swords out, burst through, and you come out onto a sort of a raised walkway. And the walkway sort of goes around the whole room. It's about 3 feet above, and then below that in the centre of the room is a sort of a dipped bit. So you walk out here and you come through this door. As you sort of kick through it, very, very quickly, you see three guards in this general area here who are trying to pry open this crate. They're on the other side of the walkway behind sort of waist-high barrier, and they're trying to hack a system, trying to get into this sealed container. As you burst in, they spin round and instantly open fire on you. You can see them there, and they're in medium armour, these military padded jackets, which you don't recognise. Two of them have sort of dark grey skin, and one of them has sort of got a bluish tinge to it with a sort of mottled appearance. As they see you, they sort of look at each other and instantly dive for cover behind these waist-high barriers. Roll initiative for me on that one.
Five.
Six.
It's not going well.
I'm so glad we split the party.
I mean,
me too. Guys.
You do have your communicators with you, remember?
We're about to die.
Get down to deck four.
Okay, so you burst into the room and they spin around. So, what was those initiatives again?
Five,
six.
Okay, so you actually get, because you burst in so quickly and so you know, ridiculously, you actually get a surprise round. Ozan, it's your go first.
I'm going to fire at the guy with the mottled uniform with my light pistol.
Okay, brilliant. Roll an attack.
That would be a natural one.
So, you basically you kick open the door and you sort of brandish your auto pistol and you sort of make a yee-haw noise and sort of shoot it into the ceiling. William Shatner.
So overexcited.
So, okay, and that just goes into the ceiling and they sort of look a bit surprised by the blitzkrieg shock and awe tactics that you've got there. Then Mike's your go.
Okay. How far away are they from me?
So they're about 30 feet across the gap.
Oh, perfect. Okay. I have basically 30. So I will... So I'm elevated in a moment, aren't I?
You're at the same level as they are, because this walkway here, you see that walkway?
Yeah.
That goes around the edge of the room, and then there's a sort of lowered bit in the middle here.
So can I run around the walkway to within 30 feet, or would I have to jump down back up again?
If you went down the steps, if you wouldn't quite make it to melee reach in one action, but as the crow flies, they're about 30 feet, but to run there, it'd be about 40, because you'd have to come sort of round this way.
If I was to, like, forward flip over the side, run at them as the crow flies, and jump up and strike.
Okay, go. How are you jumping? Are we athletics or acrobatics?
Either.
Okay, but yeah, so you run and make a athletics or an acrobatics check for me.
Natural one. for the acrobatics, but that'd be a four. And then athletics, five.
Oh no! Just make one of them, just either or. But we'll go with your one because that was the first one. So you,
hey, D4. I think we should just leave them to it.
They seem like they're doing well.
So you run down here and you storm across the floor and sort of leap over the barrier, but you just catch your foot on the floor and go face first into the barrier. And you just go, literally, rather than jumping over it, you launch yourself into the barrier. You take 3 points of bludgeoning damage.
Jesus, oh shit.
Maybe they can't handle themselves. We should probably go downstairs.
I mean, I feel like we should. How long do we think it will take us to get there?
Probably about 2 rounds, I would say.
Oh, I think we can. Yeah, we'll charge down.
Yeah. I'll be down by then probably, but yeah, whatever.
Okay, so as
it's okay, I've got medicine checks.
As you had a surprise round, it's actually they stop being surprised now because I mean they are surprised just by your tactics, just by the fact that they've seen someone walk in, shoot a round into the ceiling, and then another guy just launches himself face first into a wall. But then that goes back to Aaron's turn. What I will say is actually, in fact, do you want to roll an initiative, Jefferson and D4?
Yep, sure. 18.
18, and what were you, Jefferson?
Hang on, let me find my initiative. Is it just Dex?
Plus your Dex.
Yeah, plus Dex.
10.
Okay, so that would go then to, we'll say D4's turn, if you want to use that to sprint down.
Yep, sweet, I'll be up under stairs.
And then again, Jefferson, if you want to sprint down as well.
Yeah, I'll do a dash.
Then that goes to Ozan's turn.
Right, I'm going to do an athletics-based jump. Over the barrier and just try and charge in a straight line at these guys.
Over this barrier.
Oh, wait, I thought, is there not a barrier in between me and these guys?
There's some. You're sort of at the top of these stairs here.
Okay, gotcha. So, all right. Yeah, I'm gonna run and try and. You know, fuck it. I'm gonna try and jump over the barrier too.
So you're literally gonna do what Pax just tried to do.
Yeah. I'm going to do mine with athletics rather than acrobatics.
Okay, so you're going for a straight leap over.
Okay, 15.
15, yeah. So you sort of jump over and sail across. You sort of land yourself in the fray here.
I scream surprise as I jump over the barrier run.
Excellent. So that's your movement.
Okay, and then I'm going to hit number 2.
Okay.
Number 2 with my long blade.
Okay, so you sort of jump, and while you jump, you sort of draw your long blade out.
Yeah.
And then as you land, you sort of spin and attack him, make an attack roll.
Okay, cool. So that is 17 to hit.
That definitely hits.
And 10 damage.
Oh, wow, 10 damage. Okay, so you land, and just with like one backslash, you just put the blade into the neck of this guard, and he just sort of falls down onto his knees in one go.
Did you get full damage on that?
No, I got almost full damage. Rolled 7 on a D8. I've got plus 3.
Weapon are you using? I want one.
A long blade. It's just a long sword.
You mean it's a space long sword?
I mean, yeah, a long sword, a sword that's long in space. I'm sorry, Wizards of the Coast.
They don't own long swords.
You don't know that.
Okay, so, and that's it, the guard's turn. So the first one sort of spins around and swings it straight at you, Ozan, with a 15.
Is he shooting me or stabbing me?
He's sort of whipped out a long energy staff, and swung that at you.
It's not enough to hit.
Okay, so he swings that and you just sort of parry it away. And the one behind you also brings his energy stuff down sort of on the back of your head. And he gets a 5. So, and you just sort of pat. You actually, you know, you look quite impressive, actually. And then Pax, it's your go. You're prone on the floor.
So, number 1's still alive, okay.
One and 3 are still alive.
Does that take half my movement, or...?
Half your movement.
Okay, I should be able to get around the stairs. I shake off and I go, let's try the stairs myself. is that 15 feet?
So you could just about do that and get to roughly where he is.
Okay, and then I hack him with both of my sabers. Here we go. 13 plus 3, 16. I rolled an 8 damage for my first saber. Which I plus 3 on that, so it's 11.
Okay, so you run up and you just put one saber sort of through the back of this guard, and he sort of like gives a sort of cough as he sort of spits up this blood. You sort of wrench the saber out, and he sort of drops to his knees and falls to the floor.
Okay. Can I spin then and take number three with my second saber, or is that too far away?
He's too far away, unfortunately, at the moment.
Okay. I use my second saber to hack off the head of a fallen to the ground.
Yeah, I'll just let you do that. Intimidation tactics. At this point on their turn, D4 and Jefferson, they sort of appear.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I was going to slow down to a jog. I'm clearly unnecessary in this fight.
Yeah, we went a lot better than we thought.
Then it would be back to Ozan's turn.
Okay, I turn around and I attempt to murder the remaining guy with my blade.
Yep, so make an attack on that.
I shout, surprise, part two! And I get an 11. Is that enough to hit?
That's not enough to hit. So you swing that and he just sort of takes a back step out of the way. He sort of parries your way and makes an attack back at you, which is a 22.
Oh, that is enough to hit, surprisingly.
And he sort of rams his energy staff straight into your chest. And you take 5 points of damage.
Fucking ow.
And also, can you make a constitution save for me?
Ooh.
Yeah, boy, I am proficient in constitution saves. Advantage. Okay, good job, I'm proficient in constitution save. That is 11 for me.
Okay, so he sort of hits you in the chest, and you feel this sort of energy burst go across your chest, this sort of electric sort of jolt, and you feel slightly numbed by it, and your movement speed actually decreases by 10 feet.
Fuck.
Which, you know, you're already right next to him, so it's probably not the end of the world.
You're lucky I haven't got far to walk.
Then it is Pax.
Okay, I scream, stay away from my crocobot friend! Whilst I'm running towards him, I kick the guard's head at him, and then try and punch both my sabers into his face.
Do you actually want to kick the head at him, or find some mechanic that shit in?
Do it. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
I'll call it your bonus action.
Okay.
Okay, so make an athletics check on the head.
14, 17, plus 2, 19.
19, so yes, you sort of like field goal this head. And it just flies, and this guard sort of puts his arms up to defend himself from his friend's disembodied head. And then you run in with your sabre, make an attack with advantage.
Yeah, okay, after all. 17, so 20, 22. And then my sabers, 7 and 1. So the first saber is 7. Well, I'm assuming that it hits on 22 the attack roll.
Yes.
First saber, 7. Second saber, 1.
Which was your first one?
7.
7. Because use your bonus action to kick the head.
Oh, actually, I didn't add my strength, which is 3. So that's 10.
So he sort of puts his hands up to defend himself from this flying head. As he just brings his sort of hands down, as he does so, the last thing he sees is just your saber coming towards his sort of throat as you sort of place it straight in there and rip it out. And how much damage did you do?
10.
10, yeah, and he just sort of looks at you and goes... and sort of the big spew of blood comes out of his mouth and he sort of crumples down onto the floor. And all three of the guards are now dead. Just as D4 and Jefferson burst through the door.
I charge in with my pistol and one of my short blades drawn and go, hey guys, how's it going? Me and my buddy D4 were just out for a jog.
Check out this crate.
I'm glad to see you're safe.
Thank you, nerd.
In my people, that is a compliment. Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
So yeah, so you are. There's this huge orange sort of crate. It's locked with a little sort of security panel. It's pushed up against the wall.
Can I smash the security panel?
Yes, but
why don't you use the robot over there?
There's a robot.
No, he's not a robot. He's just made of dust.
Oh, okay.
There's a dusty robot.
I mean, I've got nothing on this.
I'm going to try and hack the panel.
Yeah, go for it. Do you want to make a computers check?
Yes.
While he's doing that, can I use my
20, not natural.
Yeah, so you, it's a fairly simple process for you. You sort of get out the system, open up the console, and make yourself spoof some commands around subroutines, etc. computers. You sort of thrill over here, then you thrill over there. Ultimately, you sort of find the back door and manage to pop the lock on the on the crate, and it sort of like springs open. Inside, it's sort of packed with sort of hay and sort of packing material, and you find two stun grenades.
Bagsy, I mean, that's not space slang, is it?
Yeah, I'm going to try and take some of that space hay.
If you want to mark, hay on your inventory, sheet, I will not stop you.
I'm going to put a handful of space hay in my inventory.
Go for it.
Hay, comma.
You never know what I'm going to be able to do with it.
It's good for insulation.
Good for insulation. You could maybe start a fire. So decide between you who sort of keeps those stun grenades.
I mean, I feel like you guys kind of won that fight.
I'm healing myself for 5 damage out of my pool of shit.
Your paladin lay on hands.
Not space. A paladin.
Paladin in space.
He's a space paladin.
Paladins in
Flash Quacky Bot.
50% cold on feeling reptile. 50% cold on feeling robot.
So you are in this room surrounded by 3 dead, sort of greyish blue with sort of leathery skin guards.
Can I look at their stars?
Yeah, sure. So you pick up the staff, and this is they're fairly common actually. They're fairly sort of common weapons sort of around the system. They're just known as energy staffs. They do do 1d6 damage, and they have the ability to tense people's muscles up with a sort of electric charge.
And you say they're called energy staffs?
Yes.
I take one.
Okay, yeah, mark that down.
What species are these guys?
Make a xenobiology check.
Minus one.
0.
They're space cows.
They weren't hay.
They were just looking at the space hay all along.
I, too, get a 0.
You're all in agreement that these are space cows.
Right, so I'm going to try as well.
I'm going to take some of that space hay and try and feed it.
19.
Okay, so... D4, you sort of look around and you genuinely wonder what the fuck you're doing with your life hanging around with these people. You recognize this. This is actually, they're not that rare. They're a fairly common race.
Space cow.
They're known as the Lorendi, and they are an offshoot of one of the core races of the Sylvain systems. One of the core races is called the Eldorai. Thousands of years ago, the Eldorai split off from the Lorendi. The Eldorai became quite a spiritual race. They believe in religion and balance, whereas the Lorendi, when they split up, there used to be one single race called the Nesiv. But they split off, and the Lorendi are now a militaristic society who sort of embrace power and that sort of military meritocracy. So they're quite well known. It's and you're actually quite concerned that not one of your compatriots can even recognise these.
I find space cows delicious. can I take a leg?
I mean, I don't know if D4 would have anything to say about that, but you can give it a go.
I'm fairly certain these aren't space cows.
I mean, we got 3 against 1 here. They're space cows. So, where were you guys headed? What were we doing?
Deck 7, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Now we're here with the nerd and the computer level. Let's go and see if we can fix the gravity and then go up to 7.
Nice idea. Yeah, but
these dastardly space cows seem to have done something to the computer.
We don't know that they didn't do the right computer. They could have just done it to any computer.
I'm almost certain they did it to the correct computer. Those dastardly space cows.
Well, that's a great disappointment.
Can we take our guy to go and see?
I mean, sure, but those space cows, They've ruined the science lab. They've ruined the computer room. It's terrible in there. Someone set a ham dryer.
D4, do you want to go and see if you can maybe turn gravity back on?
I'll see what I can do.
So you walk out through the room and past the server room. You know roughly which computer is which, and you can figure it out quite quickly. The anti-gravity system is shot. Is absolutely destroyed, but all of the other systems seem to be absolutely fine.
I say, all right.
Can you restore access to the lift?
Let's not take the lift.
The lift appears to be inoperable.
Will the gang figure out how to get to Deck 7? Will the stairs still work? Will they ever figure out why anyone's attacking the Callistus? And more importantly, can they do anything about it? Thanks for listening. Take a look at the next podcast to find out what happens. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes and share it with your friends. Cheers.